This is Believe in Buckeyes, and this show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chim, hit him with the ad.
So with the NFL playoffs here and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get in on the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use your promo code, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with any of your needs you may have in that area. But yes, this is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning. This is Chimby Checkwild. We have a great show for you guys today because it is officially the offseason. College started a couple weeks ago. NFL's there too. So yeah, I mean, things are changing. Things are shaking up. And the biggest thing around Ohio State is the changes with our coaches. Last episode, we talked about losing a couple coaches, safeties coach, gaining a guy, losing a special teams coach. But we gained the offensive coordinator and Bill O'Brien coming straight from the New England Patriots. Man, you got some experience there. What you think about that hire?
Yeah, some experience. And when you think about it, I know Bill O'Brien wasn't the sexiest hire. I think the last time we heard Bill O'Brien's name on the national stage was Milro from Alabama talking about Bill O'Brien said, I need to change positions, right? I question that. Like, how did he say it? You know what I'm saying? Like, was it, you know, I think you'd be better at a different position, or was it like you suck at quarterback? Don't do this no more. You know what I'm saying? Because how you say it matters.
Like, it matters. It matters, right? That's right.
High school wide receivers, I said, you know, you're a good wide receiver, but if you play DB, probably could go play D1, maybe be able to make it to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? That's to me, that's positive feedback. But anyway, Bill O'Brien, you know, when you think about what Ohio State needed, what Ryan Day was looking for, there was speculation about the head coach at Toledo as a potential option for offensive coordinator. He's looking for somebody with experience, not just at calling plays, but experience in running the team. Because when it comes to Day, if I'm a leader, I want to hire for things that solve for some of the weaknesses, you know. And if you're Ryan Day, do you really need another creative offensive mind, right? Ryan Day was a creative offensive mind 4 or 5 years ago, right? Then he brings in Fry to bring some more creativity to the offensive line in the run game. But what was missing to me all year, we talked about it all the time, in the run game, like the operation just doesn't seem right. The execution doesn't seem right. The structure doesn't seem right. And I think what Bill O'Brien brings to the table is more of that structure and the ability to allow Ryan Day to take a step back and begin to run the team as opposed to just locking in and trying to run the offense.
Yeah. And if real quick, I'm going to shoot off Coach O'Brien's resume here for our listeners. So 2009 to 2011, he's an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for the New England Patriots. Yeah. From there, he takes the head job at Penn State for the 13 season. From there, he goes back to the NFL. He's the head coach for the Houston Texans from 14 to 20. From there, he takes a job with Alabama with Coach Saban as the offensive coordinator, seasons 21-22. And then this past season, he was the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach back with the New England Patriots. So we're talking about a guy that, I mean, he's been doing it for a while at a high level, right? Yeah. I mean, all those teams that I called off, those teams won a lot of games. And I don't really recall the offense ever being an issue for most of those teams that I just kind of called off. Obviously, he eventually moved on for those jobs, whether he was terminated or wasn't retained or something of that nature. So he's still kind of been bouncing around. But, you know, he's been doing it for a while. I think the thing I like most about that coach to hire Bill O'Brien, like you said, what he's going to bring in to the run game for Ohio State, like some of those just like I call them just bread and butter plays where you just line up and you call these plays against the look no matter what. You've seen the Patriots do it for many years. Everybody knows Tom Brady and how great he was as a player and the quarterback and the championships that he won.
Yeah.
But the Patriots was never afraid to run the football. When you talk about Penn State, historically, they're never afraid to run the football. So he's going to be able to bring that in. I feel like that's something that Coach Day has been, I guess, kind of lacking. Like I say, just having those certain plays that you can just kind of go out there against a lesser opponent and just run these plays the whole game if you wanted to and just dare a team to stop you. And he's going to be able to go in there and install that day one, which has me excited. Another thing about it is some of the stuff that we see in our offensive line play, he'll be able to kind of help Coach Fry out in that and just really teach it the right way. So they know what to do in these situations when they come up in the games, when they had different looks, different fronts, things of that nature, how to count the box just so he could be a better offense. And like I say, once again, just be able to execute, hat on the hat, big boy ball, get some people moved around and be able to kind of do that. Yeah.
And everything you said, you're talking about is like, it's just structure, right? It's like,
yeah,
it's another level of maturity for this offense, taking that next step. And I know we love the Lincoln Rileys and the Cliff Kingsbury or whatever. We love the high powered offenses, but what do we love more than that is winning. And if we watched a team in Michigan that didn't have the super creative offense. I remember there was an interview with Saban. He talked about how Michigan has they huddle every play. We're not used to seeing a huddle. Like we scrambled a little bit because we had to identify personnel and stuff, and they were coming out of a huddle. Like that's not new age offense. That's as old style as you can get, and that was the innovation. I think he brings that structure. And I remember I tweeted out, I feel like there's some cracks in the foundation, right? And how you solve for that is you bring in someone who can hold guys accountable offensively, that is continuously trying to figure out how can we make sure that this operation continues to get better and better and better throughout the year. And you still have Ryan Day, who is his offense, right? Mm-hmm. And he can continue to bring that creativity and make sure that they are making the most out of that offense. And it's just grown up football. It's more maturity to that offensive side. And we saw it happen on the defense with Knowles when he came in. And it's much needed on the offensive side too. So I think it was a good hire. I understand people's feeling towards it, right? And the stat that's being floated around. What's the stat that's being floated around about his win?
Yeah, so I found this myself. So I'm kind of looking up information on Coach O'Brien. I'm like, okay, well, you know, he's with the Patriots, with Alabama. You know, how many Super Bowls did Coach Bill O'Brien win? And I'm like, no, they keep talking about appearances. How many did he win? And it was like, yeah, zero. He didn't win any. Well, how about national? Surely Alabama with Coach Saban at least won one of those national championships. Yeah. And he did not. So I'm thinking like, man, around all the success without actually winning it, is he possibly a jinx, man? Like I don't know, but it's kind of alarming that, you know, this guy's been around all the success,
yeah,
all these Super Bowls and championships, but his team never got it done. Like that's interesting, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. it is an interesting stat. One is it's hard to win a Super Bowl. He did make it to a couple Super Bowls,
yeah,
and they didn't finish the job. But he also is only coaching one side of the ball. Like, he really can't control all of the elements in the game, man. He can't control all the elements in the game. So at the end of the day, and you go back to Alabama 2022, they lost to Tennessee. They lost to LSU. Both times on offense, they scored. The defense couldn't stop the other team from scoring to win the game. LSU got a 2-point conversion to win in overtime. So,
and what we tell Coach Day, hey, you got to figure it out, man. I ain't trying to hear about what happened, man. I just know you guys didn't bring it home, man. That's what we can say about that.
It's all on the offensive coordinator.
That's right. But yeah, but I mean, also, I mean, we mentioned Alabama a lot this episode, and I guess this is a fitting episode to do so because, I mean, Ohio State is getting a lot of Alabama guys showing up to campus, man. Like we're kind of turning to maybe, I don't know, Alabama or the Midwest. Should we start? I ain't gonna start that. But big news though, we did get Caleb Dowles out of the transfer portal, safety out of Alabama. He led the team in tackles. He was a true freshman last season. Led the team in tackles with 107 tackles. He is a a game changer at that safety position. What do you think about bringing in such a highly touted player to our defense?
So, Silver Bullets, man. Silver Bullets. They've been back. But now they just hit a new level. I mean, we're talking about it's hard to say this, man, because I was part of a defensive backfield myself. But it's they're really looking like they could possibly be one of the best defensive backfields that we've seen at Ohio State. It's just so much talent across the board. And the one part on defense in general, or really on the team, two of the areas, offensive line on the offensive side, but on defense, I thought they were really light when it came to safety. Talented players. You had, you know, Lathan Ransom coming back. You still got Sonny Styles. You had Malik, a young guy. But now, there is no weakness. There is no weakness. And he is, man, he's legit. He's trending towards a top 15 pick in the NFL when he comes out after his just junior season. But he's a playmaker, big-time playmaker. And, man, we already got a lot of playmakers on that defense. This is a very, very impressive-looking defense. You still got to play the game, but my goodness.
Got to play the game. Yeah, and I guess looking at it appears, obviously, we're not the coaches, right? But he probably was kind of stepped right into that role that Josh Proctor left. We've seen him make a lot of plays for this defense last year, and we had slide him into that role, and I think you probably keep Lathan and Sonny Styles kind of where they was at and plug him in there, or, you know, if that fits, and then we just kind of take it from there. I mean, definitely excited players, excited news to get an Atlanta guy like that. And another thing I like to throw out is that he returned punts. I mean, he returned a ton, but he did return some, and he took one back to the house. 85-yard return for a touchdown. And we, I don't know if you plan on doing that at Ohio State, but if so, like, we definitely could use that pickup in the special teams area where essentially last season, I don't think we returned kicks, period. Couple of seasons at Ohio State.
You joked about this. It's like we don't even take it serious no more. A punt return is just, we're really just out there to let the ball roll or catch the ball inside the five and let the offense do all the work. Like, put him back there. Like, I want to see a playmaker back there. Emeka Buka did some punt return before. He probably won't do it this season. Put him back there. Put somebody back there who could take it to the house. The question to me still is Sonny Styles. You know, honestly, Sonny Styles to me looks like a linebacker. His size, combination of size and speed, I don't know if he'd be comfortable with it. But honestly, I'd like to see him rush the passer more. You know what I'm saying? Get closer and closer to the line of scrimmage as close as possible and be more disruptive. So I don't know what they do. I don't know if they, you know, who knows how they decide they're planning to use them moving forward. But I like this as an opportunity to move him closer to the line of scrimmage and keep all those guys on the field and keep Jordan Hancock in the slot. You know, they're on passing downs. But, yeah, man, they got a lot of versatility on the defense. And, yeah, man, for – you know, special teams, man. Let's take special teams serious, man.
Yes. Let's do it. That's part of Ohio State football. But the next guy to talk about from Ohio State is on the other side of the ball. He is a quarterback, the number one quarterback of the 2024 class, and that's Julian Saying. He showed up to Alabama. I guess he was there for a week or two or something of that nature. But he obviously jumped in the portal and committed to Ohio State. I mean, that we went from being kind of light and experienced at quarterback to being like really heavy in the quarterback room at Ohio State. What do you think about Julian Saying and what are you seeing and heard so far about him and the way he can play?
Yeah, so I know he was, the top quarterback in 2024. You know how they shuffle that stuff around. At one point, I think Dylan Raiola was the top quarterback. And then, so, you know, I don't buy too much into it, but obviously he's a good player because he was committed to Alabama and he was rated high. But I watched like 30 seconds of his high school huddle clips, and man, he looks impressed. For a high school quarterback, he just really – you know, there's some guys that go out on the field and throw the ball. C.J. Stroud was one that go out on the field and just throw the ball, and they just – it's like Kevin Durant going on the basketball court and shooting. Like, they just do it. You know what I'm saying? So he looks really impressive. I think I got a nickname for him already. I'm gonna call him Super Saiyan.
It started here. Yes. I love it.
But a lot of competition, man. Yes. I also like Aaron Nolan saying, you know, I'm staying here, I'm going to compete. Competition now is different than what it was before, because you can compete, and if you lose a competition, shake hands, you get a nod to the other guy, and you go transfer somewhere else and go start somewhere else. So I just wish the best of luck to all those guys, man. It's not easy. But at the same time, I like the fact that they're bringing in competition, and I'm excited about the prospects for these guys. These guys are talented young individuals for sure.
Yeah. I mean, because, right, you bring up Aaron Nolan. Now, Aaron Nolan was also true freshman. He's just coming. He just got to campus a few weeks ago at the start of the semester. He's, I think, number 3 or 4 or 5 quarterback in the 2024 class. So, and we've been super excited, you know, seeing what he could do in our offense as well. So, like I say, it's competition right away. And obviously, that's going to make them much better players, right? I mean, you got a guy that has to learn everything right when you're learning it, right? Because obviously, you got older guys in the room. You got Lincoln, you got Devin, you got Will Howard coming over with all his experience in college football. But for Air and Julian, it's going to be their first time hearing all this stuff. Their first time, you know, leading Ohio State, a Division I office, you know, when it comes to practice and things of that nature. And just to know you got somebody kind of right there with you, you already know that these two are going to be like the best of friends, right? After about a year, these two are going to be the best of friends, because they're going to be going through all the hard times together, the bad practices, the good practices, learning from each other, certain things. And it's just going to be like, when it's going to come down to it, it's going to be like the best man win type of situation, because it's going to take – obviously, this year we probably won't see them much, neither one of them, no matter how things go. And they just kind of get to come in, absorb, learn, grow, and just do a lot of things together to make themselves the best football players possible. And it's just exciting. I mean, it really is exciting to have two guys rated that high in the same position. You know it's going to be a battle for years to come. We're going to talk about it for years before we even get to really kind of play out. And it's just really, really good to see for the Ohio State team.
What I hope for these young players, multiple five-star, multiple talented young players coming in at the same time, I hope that at Ohio State they just do a good job of developing players. Do a good job of developing players. I don't care, you know, all positions. So, yeah, you can continue to get multiple players coming in, because at the minimum, if I can come to Ohio State, maybe I go there 1 or 2 years, I develop, I continue to improve. I don't win out. I don't win the competition. I have to end up transferring somewhere else. At least I could say I came here, I learned here, I developed here. I ended up playing somewhere else, but I'll go tell the next kid that's considering where to go. Don't be afraid to go compete at Ohio State, because even still, you'll be able to develop, you'll be able to compete, and everybody around the country will know when I leave here, I'm going to be ready to go, right? So you'll still have your opportunity to go play elsewhere. That's what I hope for all of these young guys coming in and embracing the competition.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, obviously, like I said, I mean, we're definitely not Alabama or the Midwest. We're talking about a couple guys. We got Seth, but that was before Coach Saban decided to retire. But with Nick Saban retiring, like, I mean, it's like a tracking article. I think they have lost about 10 young players, kind of jumped into the transfer portal since that decision. Obviously, they decided to bring in a good coach, Kalen DeBoer, who just led the Washington Huskies to a national championship game. So they brought in a guy with a good track record, more or less. But there has to be some type of power shift that's happening in college football, and especially in the SEC, with a guy like Nick Saban deciding to call it a career. What's your thoughts on that? And are you expecting maybe another school to arise due to this transition in the SEC?
Yeah, so initially I thought, you know, with Saban leaving, that concentration of you know, players out of the Southeast going all to this one school will disperse across the SEC. You see a little dispersal with guys decommitting and leaving, going to Ole Miss, going to LSU, Georgia, et cetera, Ohio State. But honestly, I really think somebody else emerges to be, not necessarily to Alabama, because they may not have Saban, but like I think Texas kind of really emerges as, you know, one of the top two. So I think it's still going to be a top-heavy conference. And the one with the deeper pockets, the one with the best structure, just emerges. And I think that's what it comes down to, because, you know, you see it with those players like Downs, like saying, you know, the coach they wanted to play for leaves, and they go back to their second option, which was Ohio State. These kids understand in today's world, if it doesn't work out, I could go somewhere else. So I'm going to go maximize the opportunity at the best school possible. And honestly, I think that consistency is going to probably shift more to like a Texas. Georgia's already there, obviously. Right. And I think the SEC continues to be what it is, where the third and fourth school continues to shift year in and year out. And that's what it is. There's not going to be another Nick Saban. I think Kirby Smart probably is the closest at this time.
You're right.
So yeah, it's just a shifting of the landscape, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's no really replacing a Nick Saban, right? I mean, you just look at his resumes from like since he went back to Alabama and kind of started his career there. I mean, it's just like literally makes him not. It's tough to say another coach has been better ever at coaching college football than Nick Saban for that run that he had at Alabama. I mean, just talking about. Essentially, there was like almost a shoe-in to win the national championship every 2 to 3 years in his tenure there. So, like you said, I think things will shift. I would say watch out for Ole Miss, right? I know they've been making a lot of noise. They got a coach that's attractive, right? He brings in a lot of players and things of that nature. And I know you've been doing some work in the transfer portal as well. You also been picking a little bit of Ohio State and their NIL spinach. So, you know, all funny games, right? But you know, I just watch out for them. Obviously, they always been competitive offensively for things they could do over there. And, you know, obviously, we got one of his guys, too. We got Justin's coming in from Lane, different schools. So, he's probably a little bitter. But, you know, just kind of watch out for them, I guess, in terms of things as well. So, so I guess we got some announcements to kind of talk about in the recruiting world. Ohio State has a defensive end commit, Dominic Kurtz. Out of Painesville, Ohio. This is big. This is kind of big because, I mean, I talk about it all the time about us kind of building that fence around Ohio. This kid was committed to Washington, obviously, like we just stated. Washington coach leaves Washington. He goes to Alabama, and so he decommits from Washington, and he decides to take his commitment over to Ohio State, a big defensive end, pretty athletic kid. So I think that's kind of big, man. I mean, you gotta protect your state, keep the fence around, especially with all these new teams coming into the Big Ten. Guys might get a little bit curious about playing in the Big Ten, but being on the West Coast, but you gotta secure those guys. So I think that's a big win for Ohio State. Also needs to be mentioned that Dorian Brew was the number one player in Ohio, but then he moved to Texas, but he's still one of a national recruit. But he had his announcement. He had planned on making his announcement commitment. What was the date on that?
The 24th. He had planned to, but that's been
pushed back. Pushed back to a date to be determined. But that's big. Once again, he's still an Ohio kid, right? He went to Texas. So like I said, we want to keep an eye on Dorian Brew and make sure we stay in tune to exactly what he's doing there as well. But obviously, with things that are kind of shaking up and kind of going on around college football, what are your thoughts on recruiting in the transfer portal? Like, do you think things would continue to go the way they are? Would Colorado still be the number one team people go to due to the Deion Sanders? Or with this NIL and things of that nature, would things kind of, once again, that talent disperse a little bit? And where would things land?
I think everybody's really starting to build their strategy around it, kind of figure out their approach. And when I say everybody, I'm really talking about the big dogs. Because really, some of those teams, like Arizona, they just get what they can get, right? You had Saban leave. The board goes to Alabama. Arizona coach goes to Washington. And now Arizona just a bunch of players. Like, we ain't got the pockets to go get all these top coaches and top players. So it's like that lower school on the totem pole ends up, you know, kind of stuck. But you know, I think everybody begins to figure out their plan. Ohio State, who obviously should be able to raise tons of money, understands like if we could keep some of our good guys. Another year that typically would just come 3 years and be gone, and then find, you know, some players where we have some needs. This is a unique year where Saban leaves and some guys come available that probably wouldn't have came come available. You got teams like Ole Miss. You mentioned Lane Kiffin's tweet, and that's not a tweet. That's a tweet talking about Ohio State, but that's really a tweet talking to people at Ole Miss saying, "Look, we need to raise more money. They got $13 million. We need to at least get to 10. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it is. And it doesn't matter if the number's real or not. The pressure, the sense of urgency becomes real. But I really think in the end, you know, it can't continue like this. And there's going to be continued pressure from the IRS on how collectives operate. There's going to be pressure from some within college football to say, look, got to start sharing the revenue with players. Otherwise, this thing's going to get a little wilder and wilder over time. So we'll see how it unfolds. Right now, this has been a great year for Ohio State, but based on how things continue on, you never know from year to year what it's going to be. So
yeah, because, I mean, that's a good way to put it, because, I mean, a lot of this stuff is kind of, like, you see the foundations, these organizations who's kind of in these NIL, they're kind of asking for donations, like, hey, who want to contribute? Who wants to kind of get? And eventually, I mean, you would think eventually it slows down. Like, maybe someone's super excited about it and they got some extra funds through the year, through their business, something of the nature, so they want to kind of get into this. But you would think maybe, you know, that the donor side of things probably could take a hit. So that's something that I guess always would need to be considered. But like you say, if they open things up into the TV side of things, then it'd be fine. Like that's enough money to kind of keep things afloat, and you can put a real budget around it. You probably have to hire like a GM type of situation to kind of control exactly how all the funds are going when it comes to things of that nature. But I think that's the best way to sustain it long term. Could just kind of keep, you know, specking certain businesses and certain people to kind of keep donating to this thing, even though, you know, you cheer for your team, but it's just like, it's not my job to fund a football team. My job is to make money for my company and things of that nature and the people that work for me. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting thing. And obviously no one knows how it's going to play out, but it's definitely a have to play out some kind of way.
Well, when you lose to your rival, people start spending money. Like, hey, I can't go back to work and be ridiculed by this one Michigan person at my workplace. So I got to spend this bread. We got to get back to who we are. So, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out after the years where we're just destroying everybody. See if people still have that same sense of urgency.
we'll see. But yeah, but that's our show for this week. Tune in next week. Obviously, it's funny. Like, we go into the week, we really don't know what's going to happen. Then boom, something happens, and we could basically spend a whole show on it. So we appreciate you guys tuning in with us. Subscribe to the station. Subscribe to Believe in Buckeyes on all the pages. Hit us up on YouTube as well. Really appreciate all the growing and love and support that we've been getting. So we appreciate you all. We end all our shows with an OH.
I-O.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Catch you next time.
Silver Bullets back, baby.